Well, July 11th, which is Friday, is the release of Superman, the new movie. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing it. Since the trailer came out, the second, I guess it was the biggest trailer, came out a month ago. And I'm in. Doesn't mean the movie's going to be good, but I'm totally in. I'm looking forward to this version of Superman. But
I don't think I've ever seen a Superman movie.
Not even the Christopher Reeve movies?
Mm-mm. But you know what I loved when I was a kid?
Oh, my God.
Lois and Clark. That show with Terry Hatcher.
Oh.
And what's his name?
Was it Dean Cain?
Yes, Dean Cain.
Inferior.
I have seen every episode of Lois and Clark because it was on Channel 11, and so were the Blues games. But we only had, like, you know, those terrestrial stations. Anyway, Channel 11... would watch Lois and Clark. So, I mean, I don't want to say I'm a Superman expert, but I have seen a lot of Lois and Clark.
The Christopher Reeve movies were just great. The first, and he was an awesome Superman.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen the ultimate,
like when you picture him, picture Superman, that's who you picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill's good, but, you know, wasn't Christopher Reeve. And I don't know about this one yet. David Corn-Sweat. I don't know yet.
David Cornsweet.
I think it's how you pronounce his name, but he is the new Superman. Well, I got bad news. You haven't seen any Superman movies yet? Well, you're not going to go see this one, Amy, because it is apparently super woke. According to Kellyanne Conway, and this is after James Gunn, St. Louis and James Gunn, directed this film, and he did an interview in the Sunday Times, which is from about a week ago, and he said in the piece that Superman is, quote, an immigrant that came from other places and populated the country. But for me, it is mostly a story that says basic human kindness is a value and is something we have lost. So because of that quote, you've had a lot of Fox News people like Jesse Waters and Greg Gutfeld and Kellyanne Conway and even a congressman from Texas weighed in on it. In fact, he tweeted, Superman snow whited itself faster than a speeding bullet, which I don't understand that reference.
Snow White had some issues because the girl that played Snow White had some pretty strong political views and views on the conflict between Israel and Hamas and tweeted those out. And I think she was Hispanic, and people are like, well, that's not Snow White. But the thing is, like, she looks exactly like Snow White. She looks like a Disney princess. So I don't know if it was more of her political tweets or the fact that she was
this
Hispanic.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Because it's just so stupid. And I think it was poorly done anyway. I don't think it did very well. But I mean, I thought she looked exactly like Snow White. You know who else looks like a Disney princess? Lori Hernandez, the gymnast? Because she's got those really big, pretty eyes.
Yeah, I can see
and
that.
And every time I see her, I'm like, she should be in a movie. But I thought the Snow White looked exactly like Snow White.
Clay Travis, he is also a conservative sports announcer, I guess you want to call him, podcaster. He has Outkick, you know, that's his website. And he said, I'm going to skip seeing Superman now. America is desperate for apolitical entertainment, and Hollywood is unable to deliver it.
So, has anybody seen this movie yet?
This is part of my problem with this whole thing. They take one quote from the director of the movie talking about immigrants, and they have determined that this entire movie is too woke, and therefore they're not going to see it. Which, fine, they can not go see it. I don't care what they do. It doesn't matter to me. But I'm wondering how influenced by this conversation people are going to have. We know Fox News is very influential in this country. It just flat out is. And when you have a lot of hosts on that network who are making the argument the movie is too woke, and then you have Clay Travis doing the same thing, and this congressman from Texas who's also weighed in on it, how much is it really going to influence the outcome in the box office? Are people going to not go see it now? It's not going to affect me whatsoever. I had a plan to go see it. I'm still going to go see it. Even if I heard that it had conservative undertones, I was going to go see it. It doesn't matter to me. It does not ruin my enjoyment or what I think I will enjoy. And I don't know yet. Maybe it sucks. Maybe the movie is just crap. But I like James Gunn. I think he's a good director. Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy is really good. And I'm imagining that this will be good
so
too.
So
do you let this affect you?
Well, okay. Here's the thing. You told me this, and I had not heard any of this. I also don't watch Fox News. And it sounds like right now it is the Fox News talking heads that are saying it's woke. Because I haven't heard this from anybody. I haven't seen it on Twitter, and I'm pretty online, unfortunately, because of this job. We have to kind of stay up on that. And so 314-436-7900 if you would like to call or text in. But I would say, I mean, my response was just, Greg Gutfeld is not a serious person. I mean, he's embarrassing. I guess his show is popular, but he's not a serious person. I put him in the same boat as, like, Whoopi Goldberg on The View, just saying insane things. Or anyone on The View, not even just Whoopi Goldberg, just, like, The View itself. I think of Whoopi Goldberg because she was saying, said some stupid stuff about America and Iran and whatever. But then Jesse Waters is not a serious person. He's one of those guys that 100% is grifting and doesn't even believe what he says and says things just to get people talking about it like this. Like when he said, what kind of man goes grocery shopping with his wife? That's just, when he said that about Kamala Harris and Doug Emhoff, It's just a stupid comment. He's not a serious person. Kellyanne Conway is holding on for dear life for some kind of popularity because she wants to be in the spotlight and Fox News is providing it for her. So I don't take any of these people as serious. My guess is that Superman is going to do just fine because the brand of Superman is bigger than whatever sorry saggy ass brand that
saggy ass brand
that Greg Gutfeld has.
So, but you know how it goes though, Amy. Nobody's thinking about this until, like, Fox News is heavily influential. We know it is. It has been in this country for 20-something years. We know that.
But I would hope Bayer is probably even viewed on Fox News different than Greg Gutfeld. Well,
of course, I agree with you, but you know how the conversation starts. And usually it starts with a show like that, where you're the average person. You have maybe seen the trailer, there are multiple trailers for Superman, and if you like Superman, you're thinking, oh, I can't wait to go see that. And if you have a conservative leaning and you watch Fox News and then you hear Gutfeld do this and Conway and Jesse Waters and then you see Clay Travis, maybe you start to think, oh, well, it's woke. I'm not going to go now. Well, I'm not going to go see this. That's how the conversation always starts. And I think it's disappointing because you're right. None of these people have seen the movie. None of them have seen it.
And
nobody's
also
gotten an advanced screening of Superman and can come back and report to you that it is, in fact, just an entire woke masterpiece or whatever.
And I do think, though, I even think that the issue that, oh, it's pro-immigrant, like, first of all, we're a country of immigrants, and I think of all the this is a super woke take, that one is the weakest because we know that the vast majority of Americans were concerned about the border, 74%. But we also know that the vast majority of Americans are in favor of legal immigration. So if you are picking on something like abortion, or like, I don't know, Superman, there is all like everyone's having abortions or something, I don't know, or the trans rights issues, whatever. Those to me also strike me as more of this. Those are the hot topic issues that are going to get people worked up. I think the fact that they're like, Superman's an immigrant from Krypton. It's like, well, first of all, what are you talking about?
That's what Big Blonde Dan texted
Superman.
In.
Superman.
Said Superman is an illegal alien. Think about it.
But he is technically, is he an alien?
Well, yeah, he's from Krypton. That's not from here.
Why does he look so human? Did he take on a different form?
You know, back in the 30s when they invented Superman, they weren't thinking about
because
what aliens
would
look like. Because
if he's an alien and an alien showed up and looked like Superman, wouldn't you be like, oh my gosh, I think they mated with humans because they look normal.
Well, I don't know. We're calling people from other countries who are humans aliens, and they so what's the difference? And
which
here's a texter,
yeah.
A texter who says, people are tired of being preached to by Hollywood. And here's the thing. I think that people don't mind being preached to if it's the thing they already think. So you're watching Fox News. All they're doing is preaching to you all night. That's just constant preaching, but you like it.
Well,
you like what they're saying,
you know why,
so
you're
willing to hear that. Hollywood has not been apolitical ever. There has always been politics in entertainment.
I will say
always.
This. And I will say this, because I'm not talking about the Superman movie anymore, because this is stupid. And this is why, when you have a valid issue and then you use stupid, falsified, trivial, or weak evidence to support your argument, you actually just take down the whole argument. And that drives me nuts, because... or if you overreact, or you swing the other way where you become insane, your initial reason for pushing back, while valid, it totally becomes discredited in people's eyes. So here's what I do want to say. Like, yes, I get the texter point. What he's saying is people are tired of being preached to from Hollywood. Absolutely. We know that the cornerstones of culture, or the commanding heights of culture, as you call it, not you, but as it's called, the academics, Hollywood, yes, the legacy media. We've got Fox News, but there's ABC, NBC, CBS, New York Times, Washington Post, all of these things. We know that they do lean left. Those commanding heights,
they're not far left. I want to make a distinction, though, because people act like those outlets are so far crazy liberal, and they're not.
Well, I know you feel that way, but as someone who's been a conservative and has followed it, I totally get it. And it's even.
See, I think people who are conservative on that side, mm-hmm. if the outlet isn't just flat out right wing, then it's
but
a
you know
liberal
that's not
outfit.
Me, and you're talking to me, and you know that I'm
yeah,
not
I just
overly
don't agree
sensitive.
With you on this.
I know you don't, but I guess my point is, what I'm trying to say is, after a while, you get like I get frustrated, because I feel like, oh my gosh, there is like this weird smugness from the left, and it came out accidentally. When Hillary Clinton accidentally said basket of deplorables, she didn't invent that feeling, but she said out loud what I know the left has thought about conservative or traditional people for a long time. So, yes, I'm on one side saying I don't think Superman, no one's seen it. I don't think people should be freaking about it being woke. But one reason why this backlash from the right has happened, and I am not unique in saying this. The Atlantic had a great piece, and David Brooks had a great piece in The Atlantic applying this logic to the Ivy Leagues and how the Ivy Leagues broke America. There's this smug, condescending, elitist attitude, which is why people would rather have a billionaire who is crass and vulgar than a billionaire who is an academic elite who thinks you're uneducated and pathetic if you have traditional values.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's it. That to me is an unfair characterization, because what Clinton, my understanding, the way I heard it, she was not talking about all conservative people, but that's how it was taken.
Trump voters.
It was not all Trump voters. It was a certain subsect of Trump voters who she found to be, deplorable, right? She was not talking about everybody who's Republican, everybody who voted for him.
Well,
so
I don't agree with that.
Yeah,
nuance was there, but at any rate, no one's seen Superman yet. We're pro-immigrant. I think most Americans are pro-immigrant. And Greg Gutfeld and Jesse Waters are not serious people.
No, but this conversation's going to happen. And I think that's unfortunate. And maybe the movie sucks, but maybe see it on its merits first and then make that determination. Tell us what you think. 314-436-7900. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. We have a voice message, and you can send us a voice message from the Odyssey app. It's super simple to do after our conversation about Superman. Here's Mike.
Yeah, Amy is absolutely right on this point, coming from a fellow never-Trump Republican. Even though that Trump was, of course, speaking as a conservative Christian, a terrible representative for our values, there is a certain sympathy there for how people can get to that point with what Amy is saying, with that certain smugness, self-righteousness. I definitely see it, but I also don't lose my mind over it, which a lot of conservatives do.
Thank you.
Appreciate the message, Mike. And you can always leave us a message on the Odyssey app.
Yep.
Like I said, really easy to do that.
Thank you, Mike.
Anne is checking in from Illinois. Hello, Anne.
Hello.
Hi. What's up?
Well, I think you kind of got off on a tangent because I thought we were talking about movies and previews and things like that. And I... and my car and I were fighting over whether what information it was going to give me while I was driving, and I didn't have your number programmed. But anyway, before COVID, I'm 80 years old, by the way.
Hello.
And before COVID, we went to the show approximately maybe 100 times. Saw about 100 movies a year until COVID,
gosh.
And then we kind of got away from it. Yeah. And I always found that, I mean, we watched the previews during the show, you know, that you have to watch. But as far as using them as my guide to go to the movies, I don't believe in them because it's been my experience that they show the part that they think is going to appeal to people. Many times you go by that part preview that you've seen, you think this is going to be great, and it's really awful.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, I've seen some awful movies, and we don't walk out. We watch them to the end, no matter how bad we hate them.
Mm.
And the other thing was was that when people go to the movies, you know, the weekend some movie opens up, everybody rushes out to go to the movie. There ought to be a button in the show that you press that says, I liked it or disliked it, because just because this was the great sellout of the weekend doesn't mean that everybody liked that movie. But that's what people judge, you know, oh my God, they sold out, so that must be a great movie. And it's really not a good movie. So anyway, that was what I had to say.
Well, thank you, Anne. Appreciate it. I think, though, you get the idea if people liked it or not. It by the following weekend, because word of mouth happens, the movie is no good, don't go see it. And then there's a huge drop off in the box office from the first weekend to the next.
So I like what you said, though, but as far as don't judge a movie by the trailer, can also be like don't judge a movie by reviews, which is true. I find it false advertising.
Do you know what was
in a trailer? They play parts that aren't in the movie.
Yeah, that happens a lot because those things have been edited out.
Yeah.
Because the movie is still being edited a lot of times when the trailers come out. Shawshank Redemption from the 90s did not get good reviews.
It's crazy.
And it ended up being the one of the movies that is on all the time. This text message says, the fact people will refuse to see a movie based only on other people's opinions from a polarized news channel shows the lack of individual thinking we have going on.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a new phenomenon necessarily. I think people have probably always kind of followed the crowd, but it might be worse now than it was 25 years ago, 30 years ago.
Yeah, because people didn't, growing up, I mean, people use the word liberal, which I think, you know, I'm classically liberal, so I like to use the word progressive. But the word woke, like that wasn't, people weren't talking in those terms 20 years ago. No one said like,
well,
oh,
they
that's
weren't, woke. People would argue about politics,
yeah.
I think 25, 30 years ago, and they would have heated arguments, but I don't know that there was just a hatred. Like, I mean, we'll get a text message and somebody who knows I have left-leaning thoughts and I've been perfectly upfront about that forever. You are on the other side of that.
Left-leaning thoughts sounds like you're neurodivergent. Like, I've got left-leaning thoughts. I don't know what to do with them.
Once they know that that's where you are politically, like they hate you. And I think that's crazy stuff.
Yeah,
crazy.
Don't hate Ranj because of his politics. Hate him for who he is.
Fine. Just hate me for who I am. But I think that's insane behavior to hate some. Like, I don't hate people who are right-wing just because they're right-wing. I have a lot of really close friends who are absolute right-wing
Which
nut jobs,
weird.
And I love them.
You have more right-wing friends than I do.
I had one at the wedding.
All my friends are
the wedding I
crazy.
Went to, Amy, on Saturday, the wedding I went to, one guy who's gotten more right came up to me and he was like, I don't like your tweets. I'm like, that's okay. I love this guy.
Was
I've known
Marjorie
him forever.
Taylor Gregg?
It was not. And I've loved this guy forever. And he wanted to start talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, we can't do this right here. And then he got mad because I wouldn't talk to him about it. And I walked away and that was the end. It was just really bad. And this is a guy I love. I don't hate him.
Hard left turn. Do you watch trashy TV? We have our question of the week. And Ranj, unfortunately, watched The Poop Cruise. It's a real show.
I don't think it was trashy.
He's going to tell us about it next on The Chris and Amy Show. All right. Our question of the week, which we meant to debut yesterday, our question of the week is, do you watch trashy TV? Because obviously a lot of people do. I don't. I think it's malformative. But I don't watch like Love Island or Bachelors in Paradise, Naked and Afraid, Naked with the Bachelors.
Love on the Spectrum?
The Island. Yeah. No, I don't like that one. I'm really sensitive to the topic of that one because I feel like it can be exploitive pretty quickly.
I think the parents are more exploitative than the actual people putting it together, because the folks who are featured in it come off as just extremely delightful people, and you root for them, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know that it's sinister, but I think there are some parents who are. At any rate, I agree with you on for the most part, those kinds of shows. I never really liked Judge Judy or Springer.
No.
You know, that kind of stuff, I never really got into it. I don't like Love Island.
No. And there's The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Nope. Not for me.
Yeah,
oh,
not into
the,
it.
Desperate Housewives. Everything on Bravo, I think, is trashy. Andy Cohen, St. Louis, and I get it, but he loves himself some trashy TV.
Remember when he got offended because because I said, you know, I don't know that these folks, like, do you ever look at them and think, what is wrong with these people? And he's like, well, no, they're great. And he defended it.
No, really?
Which, yeah.
You can't.
Were you not?
I was there, but I remember it vaguely. I forgot about that. And like I said, Andy's always fun to talk to on KMOX. But I mean, it's trash TV. That's what Bravo is. That's what Desperate Housewives and all of those shows are. Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So you were watching a TV show.
See, I would not classify this as trash TV.
It's a documentary, isn't it?
This is more poop TV.
So
there is a show on Netflix. Yeah,
because it's serious.
Mm-hmm.
The name belies the seriousness of the documentary. The name feels goofy.
The name is called Poop Cruise, and it is about it's on Netflix, and it is about the 2013 Carnival cruise. That the Triumph was the name of the ship.
Ugh.
And the title of the documentary is Trainwreck Poop Cruise. And I think Trainwreck is a series of brief documentaries. This was like an hour long.
Okay.
But it is about that cruise that lost power. So it left from Galveston, Texas. Do you remember this from 12 years
What's
ago?
What's funny is, no, the only thing I remember about cruises are the norovirus cruises.
Okay.
And I remember with COVID people getting stuck on cruises, but I do not remember the poop cruise.
I don't know how you don't remember this because it became a huge topic. So the ship leaves from Galveston, goes to Mexico, spends some time in Mexico, and then comes back. On the way back, a fire started in the engine room that ended up burning through like all of the main power lines that powered the entire ship.
That seems bad.
So it lost power for everything. The only thing that was left were it was like the generators, the emergency generators for like hallway lights. But that
so
was it.
This is a basic question, but when you say everything, you're meaning
everything.
The boat's just bobbing now in the ocean.
The
it has
boat
no engine.
Was adrift in the ocean. So tugboats had to come out and get it and pull it back to shore. So I remember this story because it stuck with me so hard where I thought, I'm never getting on a cruise because of this. So the toilets didn't work because they were powered by electricity. So they couldn't flush. And then they started to overflow.
No.
And then there was poopy water all over the place. They were telling people to go in those biohazard plastic
bags.
Because
they were supposed to go number one in the shower and number two in the bags.
Yes.
They handed out bags for people.
So the documentary is about this. And what I thought was really funny was, and sorry to spoil this for you, but at one point, the ship, I don't know who, the director or somebody decided, hey, you know what? This was like 2 days into the crisis. They decided to just give away free booze.
Like open the bar?
Open the bar.
Because wasn't it supposed to be a 4-day cruise that ended up being like 9 or 10 days?
Yeah, it was something like a week, week and a half.
Oh my gosh.
So without power, it was hot. People were asleep. They dragged their mattresses out onto the deck to sleep outside because it was so hot.
And for and also people didn't have Wi-Fi. They could and they had no cell service, so you couldn't get the story out.
So the story didn't get out, and then I remember this part that a sister ship, a Carnival sister ship, pulled up alongside of it out in the middle of the ocean, and the people on the poopy boat were able to use the Wi-Fi from the other ship, and they were texting and calling home, telling everybody what was going on because Carnival sent out a press release saying they've lost power, we're working on it, didn't mention the toilet thing. So the toilet thing got out, and then CNN went wall-to-wall coverage with it, and it turned into a huge story.
And they opened the bar. They said, okay, all the booze is free.
Yeah, and then things got out of control, and they shut down the bars because fights started.
Oh, my gosh.
People.
How could you not anticipate that?
I mean.
Let's give a bunch of hot, angry people.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Well,
unlimited.
At first, everybody loved it. Like, wow, at least we're getting something out of this. And then things got out of control. But the worst part about the booze is anybody who's had a lot knows that the more you drink, the more you got to go pee-pee.
Yeah.
And
sometimes. More than
sometimes more than that, and there was nowhere to make it happen.
Oh my gosh!
I can't believe you did not remember the poop cruise because all I think about is the overflowing toilets.
I think that's why I've probably forgot. It's traumatizing.
Just so you know, that ship is still in service. They didn't sink it, but they should have. They should have made that a one of those man-made coral reef things.
Well, and my understanding too is that the passengers could not sue Carnival because when you sign up for a cruise, it says
it's on the ticket.
We don't guarantee that you'll get food. We don't guarantee that you won't sink to the bottom of the ocean. We don't guarantee your safety or pleasure or anything. And so,
isn't that wild that was on the ticket?
Free cruise. That was their compensation.
There were lawsuits filed. I remember the lawsuits being filed, and I think some got settled. But you are right. On the ticket, it explicitly says...
We don't guarantee safe passage.
You don't guarantee safe passage. Like, that should be...
And also, I know that there is some type of... There has to be some kind of legal boundary or parameter where I couldn't say, you can come to my house, but I don't guarantee that I won't shoot you. Like... You know what I mean? Like, you can say we don't guarantee safe passage. At some point, those guarantees have to be usurped by what a reasonable person would assume, because apparently they also say we don't guarantee you, like, food and water. But, of course, that's what I'm paying for.
Right.
I'm paying for food and water. So, to me, that can't be a legal disclaimer. If that'd be like, I'm buying a T-shirt, and they go, well, we can't guarantee you get the T-shirt.
Well, I believe that has been removed from the language of the ticket now. Like, that can't, because you're not going to get anybody, because nobody knew about that. When you buy tickets for anything, nobody reads fine print on tickets.
Listen,
nobody.
Do you know what we all do? Especially since everybody has to sign things and click on things online now, is you get to the terms and agreement, which is in that little box, and you can't click on it till you scroll through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And everyone just scrolls through it and clicks.
That's exactly right. Nobody is reading all of that.
No.
So they removed that language from the ticket because they know nobody would buy a ticket.
Yeah.
For if you knew before you purchased the ticket on a cruise that you had no guarantee of safe passage or food or water, you'd be like, I'm not going.
Yeah. I'm like, listen, I'm not Christopher Columbus.
I know. What do you think this is?
Expedition. This is supposed to be a luxury cruise.
And now thinking about this, the thought of people who are on those wooden ships who were able to cross the Atlantic on that stuff like 200 years ago, that's insanity, man.
And I do know that when a boat loses power, you are completely susceptible and at the mercy of the waves.
Yeah.
So when a boat is powering forward, you don't feel... It's like everybody who's been on a lake knows that when you're moving forward in a boat, you're just moving forward. There's no like seasickness feeling. How bad was the seasickness issue? Like, was the boat really bobbing and leaning back and forth?
So, in the film, nobody really mentioned anything like that. I think they were just sick because of the, there was a photo of one guy who had gotten off his bunk and he was in flip-flops.
Oh no.
And when he stepped down into the floor. Okay. He was the chef. He was one of the chefs on the ship.
Okay.
And it was like up to his ankles. Gross. You would think that this would kill a company. Here's what's amazing about Carnival. So that happened in 2013. Their stock actually went up.
I don't understand.
Like it went, it was like 32, 40, something like that, between 36, 40, somewhere in that range. It got all the way up to $69 a share in 2017. So it's not like it killed.
Okay.
Like their stock actually went up.
I know we always say this. Can you name a company that got killed by a scandal? Because somehow, if Subway and Volkswagen have survived, we should not be survived that Carnival also survived.
What was Volkswagen?
Well, they had two. The first one is they were built for Nazis. They didn't change the name.
Yeah.
The People's Wagon. They did. They didn't even change. Oh, should we change this? No, it's fine. And then they had the scandal about the emissions. When they had pipes that when you did the emissions tests to show that the cars were green, were clean, the pipes would, something would lift up, go down, pass the test, and then it would
What?
Go over
I
again.
Don't remember this
oh,
at all.
Oh, that was a huge, huge multi-million dollar scandal.
I don't know,
so
I
Volkswagen
remember this.
Survived both of those. We all know Subway. So, I mean, if Subway managed to be okay and Volkswagen without rebranding, I would have at least rebranded. Change the name.
Well, they did change the name of the ship.
Oh, did they?
So it's no longer the Triumph. It is called the Sunrise.
Oh, geez.
So if you're on Carnival Sunrise, you know that's the poopy ship. Just so you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They cleaned it, spent like $100 million to fix it. I agree with you.
You have to sink that sucker.
That thing should be at the bottom of the ocean.
Yes, it should. We have our question of the week up at Chris Amy KMOX on Twitter, and the votes are pouring in right now.
Pouring.
Do you watch trashy reality TV? If so, please comment which show. Which show do you watch? We know that Matt Pajeski watches
Below Deck occasionally. If it's on, I like to flip it on. It's the show where it's just reality TV of the people who work on the yachts.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to fantasize about maybe that could be my career someday.
Wait, you fantasize about not working with us?
It's not about having a yacht. You don't fantasize. You just fantasize about working on one.
Well, the way these guys work, I wouldn't call it work. There's a lot of doinking going around and partying. And,
a lot of.
Is that where you?
Did you just say doinking?
There's a lot of doinking.
Is that where you hit each other on the head?
Yeah.
Oh my
and you get
God.
The bump on your head?
Yes. It's just like that.
Like Bugs Bunny.
But everybody in the show is so good looking. You know, I'm like, wow, this could be my life, but. Set him in St. Louis.
Buddy, if you ever say doinkin' again.
That was me being clean.
That was miserable. Don't ever do that again. I hated that.
Remember when you said, that's the way it works, baby.
That was worse.
Wait, yesterday.
Did I say it to a caller?
You said it to me.
You. Oh.
And then you were so offended with yourself.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I've never heard you say that, and you've never heard you say that.
I did not like that. Did we have a voice message we wanted to get to?
We have a voice message from Jonathan. We're talking about woke movies.
Oh. Disagree.
Whoa.
Oh.
Hello.
Let me cue Jonathan up. I'm still playing some music here. Yeah, this is about you guys talking about the Superman movie.
Oh, yeah.
I disagree, Amy. The word woke has been around for a while. I would say 20 years is probably about right. I remember as a young man in high school being called a woke white boy. Very much a compliment.
I mean,
that it would be considered a compliment by anyone saying that now, but also the word doesn't mean anything like it used to back then. Thanks a lot, Fox, for hijacking such a great word.
I don't think I knew woke 20 years ago.
No?
Did you?
I don't know about 20. I feel like...
Because 20's pretty... I mean,
I feel like
was 10, 21.
15 probably? 10 years ago or so?
Right.
20 seems like a long time.
20 seems like a long time. But maybe it was, like he said, kind of used in a different, more specific context.
Yeah.
But it definitely wasn't everywhere on the news and everything.
It didn't become a pejorative until the last five.
Yeah. I don't think it was, and I don't think it was that well known until the last five or 10, as you said.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Below Deck, what is your trashy show? Love Island, Bachelors in Paradise, Naked and Afraid?
I told you I like Love on the Spectrum, but I don't know that it's trashy. I wouldn't consider
it that.
I think any
it's not supposed to be trashy.
Right. So it's really I just sort of, and I probably shouldn't, I don't like reality TV that much. I don't like it that much. I generally speaking, but I kind of feel like any reality TV is that. So
I don't like
that's
reality
just that
TV.
Would be considered to me, like I would think that's a guilty pleasure. I would call reality shows a guilty pleasure.
Do you know
pleasure.
What I consider? I was going to say woke, not woke. Trashy. Do you know what I consider trashy?
No.
The same idea. And again, I'm not joking when I really don't watch it. And I do think for young people especially, but for anyone who consumes it a lot, I think it's spiritually, relationally, emotionally malformative. All the Mr. Beast stuff. I think that's trashy. I don't like exploiting people. Either it's their need for money or their lust for money. And I know he's like, oh, but he's helping. And I get that there was this whole defense of him because he really is building wells and everything in Africa with his wealth and he's done other good things. I'm not saying that his ill-gotten gain, that he hasn't used some of it to do good. I do think it's exploiting in its own way. And I do think it's like encouraging the worst selfish, greedy instincts of people. I wouldn't want to be known for that. Hey, so, I throw money in a bucket and then I try to get a hundred losers to run after it and embarrass themselves on television. I don't like that.
I don't either. Here's my feeling on people like him. I suppose that if you are doing something for ultimate good, right? Mm-hmm. Like what your act is ultimately doing something good for people who need it, right? I guess it's tough to argue against that. However, when it is performative to me, it really turns me off. I hate performative charity. And stuff like that, or remember the Marlins guy? Marlins man. He would go to all the ball games. I don't know what happened to him, but he go to all the ball games and he wear bright orange and sit behind the plate, wear a visor upside down and backwards. And everybody was like, well, he's giving to charity. Like, I don't care because he's doing this so he can be seen.
It is obnoxious and off-putting, but I do have a quick PSA, and this is real. Ladies and gentlemen, someone bought a winning ticket for $249,000 at the Quick Trip at the corner of Chippewa Street and Gravois Avenue in Dutchtown, and it has not been claimed yet. But they sold it. They sold a winning ticket for $249,000, and they're waiting for the person to come claim it. It was the Quick Trip at the corner of Chippewa Street and Gravelwood.
How long do you have a year?
That sounds familiar. I don't know, but oh my gosh, what if you forgot you bought that ticket and you're listening to the Chris and Amy show?
Well, then you owe us a cut.
I think so. But anyway, if you are that person, call us tomorrow. But yeah, Quick Trip at the corner of Chippewa Street and Gravois Avenue. They are waiting for someone to claim that prize.
Well, wow. Somebody out there is a quarter million richer and
That's
they don't
insane.
Even know it.
That's insane.